Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. We will begin on the front page with an article entitled Civics Focus on ISU Events, Constitution Copies Handed Out in Lieu of Usual Watch Party. Illinois State University students will not be gathering for a watch party on campus for this year's inauguration as they have in the past, but there will be virtual options for taking part in the once every 4 years event. Historically, ISU has hosted an inauguration viewing event in the Bone Student Center. That is not possible this year with COVID-19, so we are participating in the virtual viewing through the National American Democracy Project, said Harriet Steinbach, Assistant Director of ISU's Center for Civic Engagement. The center also wanted students to have something tangible. We decided to pass out the pocket constitutions as a way to add a little fun and engagement into Inauguration Day, said Steinbach. The center already had a few pocket-sized copies of the Constitution left over from Constitution Day and decided in December to order more to hand out in January. Lillian Reitinger of Normal, a social studies education major, was among those who received a constitution. She hopes to watch Joe Biden's speech when he is sworn in as president Wednesday, but is a little worried there could be violence after the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. Colin Black, a freshman in conservation biology from Manhattan, also wants to watch the inauguration, but said, "With the security in place, I don't think anything too crazy is going to happen." In addition to the copies of the Constitution, Steinbach and graduate assistant Caitlin Hill of Glen Ellen, a graduate student in social work, gave students a matching game quiz with historical facts about the inauguration. The quiz is also on the center's website, along with links to further information on the Library of Congress sites. Faculty, staff, and students will be able to join others from across the country for a live virtual viewing of the inauguration starting at 11 a.m. Wednesday. There will be campus channels and national chat channels. The event is being organized by the American Democracy Project, using the same platform it devised for debate watches, Steinbach said. Confusion on eligibility slows local vaccinations. As portions of Illinois, including McLean County, enter Phase 1B of the state coronavirus vaccine distribution plan, some eligible people that fell under Phase 1A category are still waiting for their turn at receiving a shot in the arm. Phase 1A of the state's plan broadly grouped together healthcare personnel and residents of long-term care facilities, among those who would be the first recipients of the coronavirus vaccine, a group whose parameters the Illinois Department of Public Health said ranged from those in assisted living homes to state-run veterans' homes and mental health center residents, as well as people residential substance abuse treatment centers. But on December 28th, the state only activated vaccine distribution at skilled nursing facilities, meaning seniors in assisted or semi-independent living situations were not supposed to receive the vaccine until the skilled nursing facilities had received theirs. That's exactly how CVS handled it, said Charlie Rice Minoso, a spokesman for the Pharmacies Systems Midwest region. Illinois is among the states using the federally run Pharmacy Partnership Program, which means CVS and Walgreens are in charge of scheduling and administering vaccines across the state's various long-term care facilities, healthcare systems have the option to choose one or the other. CVS only scheduled clinics at skilled nursing facilities, with plans to move into assisted living sites on January 25th, the date the state would activate vaccine distribution at assisted living homes, he said. Since December 28th, 90% of our partnered skilled nursing facilities have been administered their first vaccine doses, Rice Minoso said. The state has activated vaccinations in assisted living facilities on Monday, January 25th, which our pharmacy teams have already begun scheduling dates for beginning then. Walgreens, which has distributed vaccine at the Loft Senior Living Center in Normal, did not respond to multiple requests for comment on Tuesday. In addition to the Loft, Luther Oaks, Heritage Health, and parts of Westminster Village have already held a vaccine clinic. Heritage Senior Living Home in Normal, Evergreen Village, held a clinic on Tuesday, Vice President of Community Relations and Marketing Melissa Beaver said. Officials at some assisted living facilities said their employees and residents have yet to receive their first dose, including Blair House and the portion of Westminster Village that is independent living, although Chief Executive Officer Barbara Nathan said those residents have a clinic date already set. Ryan Taylor, Vice President of Pharmacy Services at Greentree, which works with Heritage Health, said putting nursing homes first. Was in the beginning an issue of vaccine supply and demand. Skilled nursing facilities were initially prioritized when vaccine was less available, he said. Assisted living is getting scheduled more now as more vaccine is becoming available. Still, the prioritization wasn't always clear. Barbara Barber, the administrator of Carriage Crossing Senior Living Center, said she knew nursing homes had priority over assisted living sites, but she didn't know it would take as long as it did to learn when her employees and residents could have their turn at the vaccine. She'd been contacting CVS almost daily since late December. Before a representative contacted her on Monday, and set a February 14th clinic date. We're assisted living, so that puts us under skilled care, she said. So when I read in the pantograph that they were rolling out Phase 1B vaccinations this week, I sent an email to the county health department with that headline and said, how could this possibly be right? Barbara wants to be clear. She didn't blame the health department, which she says has supported us really, really well, and is following Illinois Department of Public Health guidance. She was just surprised. The state skipped 1A and moved to 1B, she said. McLean County has already begun scheduling appointments for essential workers and adults 65 years and older. Illinois is slated to officially transition into Phase 1B on Monday. According to data from the Illinois Department of Public Health, as of Tuesday, Illinois has been allotted 304,600 doses of coronavirus vaccine, with 69,976 having been administered so far. Illinois Department of Public Health's vaccine data does not specify where those doses were administered. Today's Flick Fact question, true or false? Joe Biden is being sworn in as the 46th President of the United States, and he will be appreciative of California and New York? The answer, true. Biden won by 7 million votes and 74 electoral college votes. Without California and New York, as pointed out by a local political watcher, Roger Hughes of Normal, who adds, it's interesting to note, no matter how one leans politically, Donald Trump would have won by 36,856 votes and 10 electoral college votes. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, January 20th, the 20th day of 2021. There are 345 days left in this year. On January 20th, 1986, the United States observed the first federal holiday in honor of slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. On this date in 1265, England's first representative parliament met for the first time. In 1801, Secretary of State John Marshall was nominated by President John Adams to be Chief Justice of the United States. Marshall was sworn in on February 4, 1801. In 1887, the U.S. Senate approved an agreement to lease Pearl Harbor in Hawaii as a naval base. In 1937, President Franklin D. Roosevelt became the first chief executive to be inaugurated on January 20th instead of March 4th. In 1942, Nazi officials held the notorious Wannsee Conference, during which they arrived at their final solution that called for exterminating all of Europe's Jews. In 1961, John F. Kennedy was inaugurated as the 35th President of the United States. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the pantograph. 100 years ago today, January 20th, 1921. The year 1920 was a prosperous one for Second Christian Church, now defunct. Reports from all the church departments and organizations were encouraging. This was especially true of church finances, which are in much better shape than a year ago. 75 years ago, January 20th, 1946, Anchor High School has 50 students, 25 boys and 25 girls. Of the 25 boys, 20 of them are out for basketball this year. Forward Don Bielsfeld is the only player over 6 feet tall. The Anchor Aces will play the winner of the Danvers-Cooksville game in the McLean County Tournament. 50 years ago, January 20th, 1971, the Robert Baird family, owners of the Hilltop Mobile Home Court, have formed a new corporation in Delaware for development of Southside land in Bloomington. The 109 acres are adjacent to Hilltop and are zoned for expansion of the park. And 25 years ago today, January 20th, 1996, a long line of police cars made up the funeral procession for Illinois State Trooper Edward Boscher of Leroy. He had been found unconscious in a swimming pool in Denver. The coroner ruled his death a drowning. Burial was at East Lawn Memorial Gardens. County adds 180 cases. McLean County reports totals top 13,000. 6,000 vaccinations so far. An additional 180 confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 in McLean County were reported by the McLean County Health Department on Tuesday. That brings the overall total to 13,155 since mid-March. Figures released Tuesday include totals from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. As of Tuesday, 730 McLean County residents are isolating at home. An additional 12,270 residents have been released from isolation and are considered recovered. The rolling 7-day positivity rate is 6.5% through Monday. 21 McLean County residents and 6 out-of-county residents remain hospitalized with COVID-19. McLean County hospitals are reporting 50% of ICU beds in use and 69% of total beds in use. Over 6,000 COVID-19 vaccines have been administered in McLean County. The Illinois Department of Public Health has created a dashboard on their website to track vaccine delivered and administered in the state. The data includes the number of residents in each county who have received a dose of the vaccine and the percentage of the population who have received both doses and are now fully vaccinated. Providers are to report as soon as practical, but reporting can be delayed as much as 72 hours, which can lead to a lag between vaccines delivered to Illinois and vaccines administered, which is why this number may differ from what McLean County Health Department reports. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported 4,318 new and probable cases of the coronavirus on Tuesday. The department also announced 33 new deaths. Illinois Department of Public Health is reporting a total of 1,076,532 cases, including 18,291 deaths since mid-March. The preliminary 7-day statewide test positivity from January 12th through Monday is 6.9%. As of Monday night, 3,335 Illinois residents were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 713 patients were in the ICU, and 395 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. In Ford County, 25 new cases were reported Tuesday, bringing the total number of cases to 1,397. There have been 40 COVID-19-related deaths. In LaSalle County, 57 new cases were confirmed Tuesday, bringing the total to 9,602. The new cases include a boy under 13, 4 girls under 13, 2 teenage boys, a teenage girl, 5 men in their 20s, and 7 women in their 40s. Carl Starts online tool to check vaccine eligibility. Carle Health has launched a virtual chat bot on carle.org to help patients get answers to questions about when they are eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine. The chat bot helps patients get the information they need without having to speak with someone over the phone, saving their time as well as the time of those caring for COVID-19 patients. Carle hopes the new feature will help alleviate an uptick in calls and get questions answered, saving time for the staff to answer calls from those unable to use the chat bot. A chat bot is a feature that simulates conversation with a human and allows the user to receive information by clicking choices or typing questions and answers in a chat box. To access the chat bot, visit carle.org and click the red Chat About Vaccine Eligibility box in the bottom right-hand corner to open a conversation. Immediately after opening the chat box, an assessment of eligibility begins using measures such as age, underlying health conditions, and occupation to give accurate information on what phase they may be eligible for vaccination. Those without access to a computer may call Carl at 217-383-3311. We hope this information empowers our patients to gain a better understanding of when the vaccine may be available to them, said Leslie Whitlow, Vice President of Ambulatory Services. It's reassuring to see such an eager response from our community to get vaccinated. This tool helps us easily answer patient questions right from their own computer or mobile device. City seeks pool park options. O'Neill revamped topic of virtual public forums on Thursday. Additional input from the public is needed to direct ongoing development of the new West Side O'Neill Park and Pool following the end of an 11-day online survey. The Bloomington Parks Recreation and Cultural Arts Department will host back-to-back virtual public forums from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday. A link is available at bloomingtonparks.org. If we're lucky, we'll have hundreds of people ready with their ideas, Department Director Jay Tetzloff told the Pantograph. We want to hear from people and show them that we're thinking about their ideas. Participants are expected to provide their comments through a virtual chat function. Department officials will answer as many questions as they can, Tetzloff said. The call for additional comments comes after the department circulated an online survey from December 28th through January 8th. Tetzloff said the survey collected 1,000 responses. Of those, 75% came from Bloomington, 16% from Normal, 7% from the rest of McLean County, and 2% from outside the county. We thought the future of the park and pool was an important question to ask all of the surrounding communities, Tetzloff said, adding that the department absolutely targeted the neighborhood surrounding the park by distributing paper surveys to 100 residents. Consensus in the survey was largely focused on adding walking paths to the park. The department, Tetzloff said, intends to prioritize adding features to the pool, the parking lot, and the skate park. We don't have money to do it all, Tetzloff said, but we're not building this pool and this park for our staff. We're building it for our community. Demolition on the 46-year-old pool began last September. The City Council approved a contract for $138,526 with Stark Excavating to demolish the swimming pool. In October, the Council approved a $775,000 contract with Williams Architects for design and construction management services. The Itasca company was chosen out of 14 firms that submitted qualifications to handle designing the new aquatic facility that will replace the 1515 West Chestnut Street pool that city officials said had far exceeded its life expectancy. The pool was closed last summer to prevent the potential spread of the coronavirus, which was actually a break for demolition crews. Tetzloff said the department will reach a point where it needs to transition from taking in ideas to finalizing the plans. Construction will likely take 12 months to complete, and officials expect to break ground this summer. The ultimate goal is to be open for the summer 2022 season, Tetzloff said. We have to move fast, but not so fast that we don't include what people want. City advances unwelcoming city ordinance. A Bloomington City Council decision on the often-discussed welcoming city ordinance will come soon. Ward 6 Alderwoman Jen Carrillo proposed the ordinance 1 week after the council approved joining the Welcoming Network, a nonprofit organization that works with city leaders to create an inclusive, welcoming place for immigrants. Our people deserve a transparent decision-making process from us, and our people deserve a vote from us on a true welcoming city ordinance, Carrillo said. The ordinance proposed by Carrillo builds upon the Illinois Trust Act, which provides basic protections for undocumented residents. Only actions required by state or federal law would be allowed. But the legislation doesn't have the backing of the full council. Ward 2 Alderwoman Donna Bolin, who supported the Welcoming Network initiative, said she would vote against more discussion on the ordinance. These itemized demands can be handled through the Welcoming Network America process. This ordinance is not welcoming. It's about protecting undocumented residents. Welcoming America also does that too. Ward 1 Alderman Jamie Matthey said he would support an ordinance, but not in its current form. I'm happy and I supported last time the portion that deals with immigration. That is fine, but I think there are pieces of this that wander loose of immigration, and that is where my concerns lie, he said. Ward 4 Alderwoman Julie Emig said it's time to push the initiative forward. It's been clearly communicated to us by experts in the community and those who work with immigrants that this is the one leadership action we can take that will make a difference. Mayor Terry Renner also threw his support behind the ordinance. We're sending a message to the people of our community that we love you, we value you as human beings, and we are not going to export you if you are a contributing member of our community. In a straw poll vote, the council voted 5-4 in favor of having the staff draft an ordinance for discussion at a future council meeting. In Normal, the council approved a welcoming city ordinance in May 2018. Written into that ordinance is a police that requires Normal police officers to consider their interactions with the U.S. ICE and inform residents why officers are requesting citizenship information. Calls for a welcoming city ordinance in Bloomington and Normal originally arose in 2017, led by organizations including the YWCA McLean County, Illinois People's Action, and the Keep Family Together Coalition. The ordinance was discussed more than 2 years ago, but was never brought for a vote. I'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for January 20th, 2021. Please stay tuned.